Hello, this is astrologer Joanne Teen, and this is podcast one that refers to the week beginning Monday, November 3rd, and ending on Sunday, November 9th. There are so many things, changing signs, and having a full moon, that I'm using this first podcast to cover those. And then I'll do a second one that will have the daily forecast, the weekly astrology forecast. So, if I could go back to the screen that holds the Taurus full moon, which is sometimes called the Buddha's birthday, interestingly enough, Taurus is the sign that has literally got Aldebaran, which is the third eye, or the Buddha eye, or the, you know, many call it the Christ eye, but we sometimes call it the pineal eye, or, you know, whatever we want to call it. But that's a very psychic, spiritual point. And so the Taurus full moon accentuates this. Also in May, when the Scorpio full moon comes in, we have the Buddha's birthday, so they say. And that is because the sun sign in Taurus is that quiet, peaceful, sitting on the ground image of the Buddha going inward and being completely still, right? So anyway, that's just a little bit of stuff about it. But this is the sun in Scorpio, moon in Taurus polarity, which is fixed sign. So, you know, the opposition quality of the polarity is not easily resolved. The sun in Scorpio is certainly taking the power position and presiding over some important kinds of finance, which we are looking at right now in the United States and perhaps in other places. This Scorpio is about the income taxes, the insurance. Oh, we're looking at health insurance big time in the United States. This is the resource area, the shared resource area of loans, and this would also cover, in a sense, the financial programs that are part of the federal government taking care of the people. There is really big controversy coming, a full moon showdown, with the moon now in the sign of Taurus, which is our self-worth, our food. And this is, you know, also the place where we are in being able to stand steady. The Taurus moon is exalted because the emotions are processed and the person becomes calm. Now, sometimes I'm not sure whether that calm is, you know, being suppressed energy. Since I know a couple of friends who have the moon in Taurus. But it is, you know, going to be stubborn and firm about its position, about its personal finance and possessions, right? And conservative is also a word that we can apply to Taurus, whereas Scorpio is the sign of transformation and making major change in certain areas. Scorpio is also the sign of commitment, right? So some people are highly committed, and when we look at this full moon, we can see that not only are they committed, but there's going to be absolute war over beliefs now in the U.S. Where else? I'm not sure how you're doing. I know that things aren't going totally smoothly in Gaza. One of the worst genocides that nobody seems to do anything about in Darfur that's ever, you can't imagine what they're doing there. We're still in this insane religious issue. Mars goes into Sagittarius this week. Mercury is in Sagittarius at the time of the Taurus full moon. And so together, they're a hot-headed dialogue, a hot-headed communication. There's going to be a lot of grandstanding, which we're already here in the United States seeing. But, you know, my question is, why don't we care about the people who are being slaughtered? I mean, if you really want to see a genocide, there it is, in the worst possible way. So this is going to be like a churning pot of fiery feelings about whatever position you may have. And, you know, joining, you've got a 0 degree Mars rising in the chart of Washington, D.C. Sagittarius is rising. Mercury is just in the first house, rising towards the ascendant. And that's at 5 degrees, and that's the midpoint between Mars and the asteroid Juno. She's at 10 degrees. So this is women's issues again, rising. And marriage equality, which is starting to be attacked in states, if it isn't the traditional marriage. You know, so we've had the acceptance for a while, and not that long, but a good while, for marriage between same sex. And so that is now coming under attack. And none of this is a surprise, because this is how it's been moving. And Vesta is also rising in the first house chart, Washington, D.C., 24 Sagittarius. And this is Vesta, who keeps the heart flame burning, the protector of the home and the protector of that which is held most dear. So she's also in a kind of warrior phase here, because the fiery Sagittarius is known to campaign for what it believes, no matter what that might be. This rising of the Juno energy particularly is making a square to the nodal axis, which is the south node at 16 Virgo, which we see above us in the heavens. We don't see it literally, but in the chart we see it at the mid-heaven position. So we can see that in the outer world, what's going on is this idea of perfection and order, and maybe even the negative issues of another thing that's happening, illness, and, you know, these ideas of plagues, and, you know, measles are spreading and other kinds of diseases. Maybe there's more COVID coming up, and we've got issues going on, beliefs, arguments with the head of the United States Department of Health. I mean, you know, we are in a really big cycle. How and when this will come to the head that is going to really make something monumental take place, I'm not sure. I don't like to do a lot of prediction, because things aren't always seen in the way you would imagine them to be. At the same time that this is all going on, we have Jupiter still direct at 25 of Cancer, and it will be retrograding fairly soon. But it is making a square to Venus in Libra. And so Venus is trying to make peace between others and find truth and balance and harmony. And that's the hope and the goal for so many things. But Jupiter is in Cancer, so the emotional levels and the need to feel secure is very strong and at odds with, you know, the peaceful attitude, you know, that there's not enough taking place to help them to feel secure. We have also got Venus opposing Chiron and Eris. So they are rattling the cage, Chiron and Eris, about individual rights and freedom. And so Venus is there in this, what we call a T-square. So she's opposing these Aries planets and squared by Jupiter in Cancer. So it doesn't look like the actual movement to resolve takes place, not at the time of the full moon, on November 5th. At 8:19 a.m. in the Eastern Standard Time. Hooray! Back to real sun time. This is the movement that we're seeing, though. And we still have Uranus in Gemini with Sedna at Uranus at zero, though. And during the week, one of the things I'll be talking about is Uranus retrograding back into Taurus. But right now, Pluto is still in a position to be helping with some of the new ways to look at things. And they both have a sextil to the fourth planet Ceres in Aries. And so they are trying to create some sort of understanding about the needs of children, the food in this country in general. Ceres, goddess of grapes. And in Aries, you know, the individual right to be fed. So it's quite an interesting chart to show what we've been seeing if we looked at the news, right? Again, it doesn't show me the way out, because there are oppositions, and there are squares. And so it's like a time held still in conflict. So again, what we get to do is to try to take that under advisement, understand what we're seeing, make decisions if you have decisions to make before Mercury goes retrograde on the 9th, and then just try to come to a level of peace. Use the Buddha energy to sit in peace within, at least for periods of time, if you can't do it constantly. That would be my best advice about this particular new moon that's coming in now. I'm sorry, full moon. And the new moon that's coming in will be the Scorpio new moon on the 19th of November. Yeah, that will be taking place at 28 degrees of Scorpio, almost through the sign, right? So what else is changing? Well, if we go from day to day, the first change is on Election Day, Tuesday the 4th. and that also comes in the United States. This is not the midterm elections, but a lot of seats are actually up. And a mayor of a city, a lot of controversy around elections now, of course. Mars enters Sagittarius on that day at 8:01 a.m. So the warrior comes into the belief on 11:04 and immediately goes opposition to Uranus, all right? So, well, there can be some upsets, and we may go through another bout of they're messing with this election. It's, you know, there's something going wrong in the technologies. That is really, I think, the biggest problem we have right now in terms of elections is, you know, the attempts to manipulate the results. We will also see a sextile from Mars and Sagittarius on the 6th of November to Pluto and Aquarius. That will be helpful in moving some ideas forward. We'll see what ideas are moving forward, and that's 2 days after the election. On the 12th of November, you should be very careful about your communicating, and that will be the conjunction to Mercury. So, again, hot-headed and hoof-and-mouth disease. Sometimes tell Sagittarians that that's what we have because, you know, we just blurt something out without thinking about the effect, especially if, you know, you're arguing a truth. It can be very easy to say something at the wrong time and wrong place. So be aware of that. Then we go into December, the 9th of December, Mars and Sagittarius will square Saturn. And on the 14th, it will square Neptune. So it's running into obstacles and confusion. And then on the 15th of December, Mars will leave Sagittarius and enter Capricorn at 2:34 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay? So wherever Mars is transiting in your chart, there'll be a lot of action and activity in that house and the issues of that house. So I just see how that looks for you. And then the next change is going to be Venus entering Scorpio, and that takes place on the 6th of November at 5:39 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, this is, you know, the sign of many levels, and Venus in Scorpio can be very jealous and possessive and suspicious in the lower levels. Overly focused on sexuality. It's interesting that we're looking at a time when some issues about sex that is controlled through power are being released into the United States consciousness, right? So Venus in Scorpio is the right position for that to be coming up and also be one of those topics of, you know, intense belief and discussion. So at another level, Venus in Scorpio is very loyal in love. It gets very committed to love. It's just that sometimes Venus thinks sexual attraction is love and needs to know the necessity for other levels to be engaged as well. Venus in Scorpio can be a very positive healing energy. If this is a positive level of Scorpio, because in the hands and the touch is something that is Venus. So people with Venus in Scorpio make very good hands-on healing people, usually, if they're in that field. Venus in Scorpio will be working to make some money and to work with shared resources and understanding the needs and values of others, which is the position of Scorpio also. You know, if seventh house is your partners, legal partners in Libra, then Scorpio is their beliefs, their feelings of worth, and their finance and money. So Venus here tries to make something work for both. And that's, you know, sometimes a good manager or a person who could give you advice about those areas of income tax, insurance, loans, inheritance, and how to handle shared resources, how to set up your finances. So that's a good position for that. So let's see, what does she do? Now, you know, all these planets will receive also aspects from other planets or from the moon, for sure. But I just look at what they are going to initiate with their own energy. So on the 7th, like the day after Venus enters Scorpio, November 7th, there's a square to Pluto in Aquarius. Now this is an interesting one because, of course, Pluto rules Scorpio. So there is some understanding here, but Pluto really wants to control that future. It's Venus is going to have to step back, and she may not like that. She probably won't like that. But whatever challenges are going on, it won't be resolved on the 7th of November. And if we go further into November, on the 26th, Venus gets her trine to Jupiter. Now that's a good day to deal with your finances and to be looking at your security. By then, of course, Jupiter will have been retrograde, so you'll be going back over some of the things that you did to keep yourself feeling secure, or other people will be doing that. And you'll be in the midst of the holiday season. It's going to get going. It'll be after Thanksgiving, though. Thanksgiving, I think, is looking at that last week, wasn't I? I think I was. And being told that it was going to be on the 20th. And so I was looking at that because of the moon sign, I think, and certain other things. But that, I think, is the third Thursday, the 20th. Yeah. So, we're already past that, but we're heading into Christmas weeks, and so plans and things like that, with Venus and Scorpio also trying Saturn, that's retrograde, I think, still, yes, in, right now it is anyway, in Pisces, and trying to make some kind of happy outcome for what those holidays will look like, and also what the budget is, and also for people who are suffering at this time. Venus and Scorpio will be very concerned with that when she's trying Saturn in Pisces. And then on the 29th of November, Venus will oppose retrograde Uranus in Taurus. And this is, you know, now we have Taurus as the sign that Venus rules. So she can understand the position of the need to make some shifts and changes, but she would really like to keep things under control as much as possible. And so that's the opposition, which also is not resolved because they're fixed signs. And on the 30th day of November, here we have the lovely energy of Venus trine Neptune. And so here you could have a really spiritual or creative day and maybe, you know, fall in love or something, but that may not be a very realistic view of what you're falling in love with, okay, or who you're falling in love with, because, you know, Neptune can be tricky. But, you know, the 30th of November is Sunday, so it is a spiritual day, and also a day that may work for gatherings with others. And it will be on the 30th, later in the day, I suppose, that Venus will shift in to Sagittarius, 3:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That trine to Neptune is her last Scorpio moment, and so it goes. Uranus retrogrades into Taurus on the 7th, and this is going to be there retrograding for a while. Let me just grab this. I don't know if we end the year with that retrograde in Taurus. Let me see if I can find it. So we're getting to the end of a year, which is also making it a little tricky to have only one book with you at a time if you're an astrologer. So, all right. The retrograde into Taurus is, okay, it's going to go direct in Taurus, so it will be there until at least the 3rd of February of 2026. It'll be a 27 Taurus, and that's where it goes direct. So, yes, we do end the year with retrograde Uranus and Taurus, February. I think I probably spoke about this in detail in a podcast that didn't have quite as many other things going on. Now, what else can possibly happen? Well, Mercury can go retrograde in Sagittarius at 2:02 p.m. on the 9th day, which is the last day of the weekly astrology forecast. And so there will be aspects galore. On the 24th is when it makes the connection to Venus and Scorpio, because it has retrograded into Scorpio on the 18th of November, 10:20 p.m. So it will retrograde opposition to Uranus. It will trine Saturn. It will join Venus, and it will go direct on the 29th of November at 12:38 p.m. Re-enter Sagittarius on December 11th and have a couple of aspects near the end of the year and the beginning of the year. That will be a square to Saturn in Pisces on the 30th, a square to Neptune on the first day of the year. Ooh. Or that will be coming in because it's at 8:33 a.m. on January 1st, 2026. So that'll be part of the evening celebrations. That we'll get to that with weekly astrology forecasts. And in direct motion in 2026, also on the first day of January, we will have Mercury enter Capricorn. before 11 p.m. Now, if you are looking at my Substacks and seeing the Moon Days forecast, last week's Moon Days forecast gave you the full information in the planetary and lunar events section for Mercury and the retrograde cycle. So you can always go there and refer to that. And I think, having said this, I am free to go to podcast number 2. So I'll say goodbye for now. Oops. Come back.